From deep inside the Death Star, I'm Larry Larson.
I'm Rob Pavezza.
And I'm Andy Richards.
And welcome to Defrag Tools. Today we've got a special guest. Tell us who you are and what you do at Microsoft.
Well, like I said, my name is Rob Pavezza. I'm a program manager over on Chakra, which is the JavaScript runtime that's inside of IE. That's Internet Explorer. Mm-hmm. And so we power all of the JavaScript that we run that's inside of IE, as well as Windows apps.
Very nice. And Andrew, what are we going to talk about today?
So back in episode 3738, we had Amanda Silver in, which is same area of Microsoft, and we talked about the debuggability of JavaScript. Well, with that was all about Visual Studio 2012, and now Rob's here to talk about 2013 and what it can do.
Right. So one of the really exciting features we added is Just My Code, which is something that's been around for a while. We've had it for C# and Visual Basic, .NET. And I think probably, well, it might be for VB as well. I'm not sure that that's really reaching back in the day. But basically, the idea is to try and get code that isn't yours, code that you didn't write, kind of out of the way, so that we can avoid having to run into, you know, kinds of goofy stuff like maybe debugging jQuery or, you know, stuff that I didn't write, and so I have no ownership, and it really doesn't help me to see pop up on my screen.
Yeah.
So
if you analogize it to the C world, it's not debugging MFC, it's not debugging ATL and all the other template libraries where you get the source code, but you don't really care about how the source code runs.
Right, right. So it treats it like kind of a black box.
Yeah, cool. So how do you do it?
So I've got a demo, and just for demoing sake, I'm going to go ahead and turn off just my code to start. And you can see it's disabled here in my debugging options. But what I kind of just like to introduce is, so I've got this Windows application that's right out of the sample library. It's the WinJS animation library. And what I'm going to do is add jQuery to it, just because I want to add another custom animation. So I'm going to go in and hit Manage NuGet, go online. Oh, jQuery's right there. I'll hit Install. I'll go ahead and go through the steps of adding it to my project. And so I'll go ahead and add jQuery into my page. Uncomment. That's Control-K, Control-U, which is the best uncommenting function ever.
Oh, that's a good tip for the day.
Yep. Control-K, Control-C does the opposite. It comments. And then this guy here, which is going to add a click listener to a button, and then I'll add the button in as well. So I've modified this page here to break, and so now I've added jQuery into my project. I'll hit play, and it'll start deploying. Da 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 da. And right away, I've got a break in my jQuery code. And actually, this is because I've turned on first chance exceptions. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys have built any Windows Store apps. I like to turn on first chance exceptions because otherwise, sometimes you might get lost in your store.
The exception model of the store apps is to defer it to somewhere else. And so trying to debug from the deferred location is quite hard. And we will actually have an episode on that at some point.
Right, right. So I just always turn on first chance exceptions. And so, you know, so we'll pop up with this break and, you know, you'll look at it and you'll see that nothing's going on that, you know, you can really handle. It's just a result of running jQuery. And what's really happening is that it's doing browser detection because jQuery is a browser dependent library. Mm-hmm. I actually get two of these exception dialogues, and before I can actually run my app, and so I mean that's a pain in the butt by itself.
So they're benign exceptions?
Yeah, they're benign exceptions. They're completely handled inside of jQuery, so it's just kind of the noise. So you know, when you deal with first chance exceptions, you can either turn on first chance exceptions and deal with these benign exceptions that occur inside of the library. Or you can turn them off, but then you have to pay the cost of, well, the exception gets deferred, and I end up having to...
So in JavaScript, is there only one exception type, right? They all exceptions funnel through the same exception object, or type code type thing.
Yeah.
It's not like you can turn off, hey, turn off exception, access denied, but leave on...
Well, you can turn off and turn on some of those, and it's based on H result, but realistically, I just... go and turn on all of them. And especially if they're JavaScript exceptions specifically, you really don't get a lot of filtering. So I'll just I've added this button here, and so I'm going to go ahead and hit it. And so I've run into this breakpoint that I've set. And so one of the things that you can do is, you know, this has this callback, and I want to hit step in. But again, what I'm going to end up doing is stepping into jQuery, and you know, it just becomes so
it's just ugly, isn't it?
Ugly and difficult to parse and really not helpful to what I'm doing. So so I'll hit step out and go back and set a breakpoint, and eventually I'll get to what I want to hit. Well, and actually now I'm not even getting there because I have an error in my code. So you know, that's just a couple things that are going on, and
it's pretty horrific, isn't it?
Yep.
I mean, it's a bad experience.
Yep. So why don't we go ahead and stop, and I'll turn debugging with just my code back on. That's a debug options and settings, and you just hit that.
So what are these two options under it?
So those are for managed and for, I think the top one is for Visual Basic. Yeah, so I mean, we don't really do anything there. Those are from older versions of Visual Studio.
Okay.
So for us, we just participate in the everybody's in or everybody's out kind of just my code setting. So
gotcha.
We'll hit that.
It's more pertinent to the older application models, yeah.
Right. And so so I'll set my breakpoint again and hit play. So right away, you can see we've eliminated some noise, right?
Yeah.
So I'm not getting bothered by that jQuery exception because, hey, I didn't write jQuery. Those exceptions really don't matter to me, and they're completely handled inside of jQuery, so it doesn't matter.
So how does it know what's yours and what's not?
Well, that's a great question. So there is a default set of files, and what we've set up is basically any minified file, and that's not a great folder. It's this one. So I've included the minified file as part of my project.
Mm-hmm.
And so we just match any .min.js file. It's based on URL. And automatically we say, by default, that is not my code.
Cool.
And we actually have a few different levels of just my code-ness in JavaScript for a couple reasons. The primary reason being, you know, if I'm building an app, let's say with jQuery, then I want to debug problems that happen with jQuery involved. Or Knockout is a great example. When I'm doing data binding, I want to be able to break and see exceptions that occur. But if I have an ad embedded on my page or in my app, mm-hmm. and an error occurs in that, I really, really don't care about that. I know specifically that I don't care about it. We saw this came up a lot, for instance, when some of our team members were building like newsreader apps. They might go to ESPN or something like that, and ESPN has a bunch of different scripts on their page that break when they are hosted inside of a store app because they, you know, they can't run Flash or something like that.
Yeah.
And so as a result of that, we saw a huge drop in noisy exceptions that weren't really pertinent to the application once we turned on just my code.
So if you made your own little library for some reason and you know it's solid, if you just named it min.js, it would be excluded? Is
yep.
that enough criteria?
Yep. But we have another level as well. So one of the things that I can do is I can add a file to my project, and I'm just going to add a text file. But I'm going to call it mycode.json. I'm going to turn off caps lock. So this is a file we look for inside of your project. And if you want, I can shoot you a link. Andrew Hall has a blog post that talks about how this works.
We'll put that in the show notes. Yeah.
And if I wanted to specifically include jQuery, what I'm going to do is add mycode. And that's an array. And function, no, libraries. And I'll add star.min.js to that. Well, that's actually how it works by default.
Yeah.
And then unrelated is the other category that I talked about. And so for store apps, we put anything under HTTP or HTTPS under unrelated
mm-hmm.
By default. And that's just kind of because store apps can't execute code out of those domains except in an iframe
mm-hmm.
or a web view. So we just automatically treat those as unrelated. But if I were to move this startup min.js into...
With the namespace of an app inside, a namespace of an object within a store app is, it's like WinStore: :?
It's a ms-appx: :\whack whack.
Yeah.
So what I've done here is I've moved startup min.js over to my code, and we do this wildcard expansion. So this time I should actually see a break, and I'm hoping that for demos. Yep, there it goes. Yeah. So you can see that I have in fact gotten the breakpoint here. So I'll go ahead and stop because we don't actually want that behavior. I'll resume. So this gives us some fine-grained control over, you know, if I have a library that I really, really want to debug, but it's normally hitting my rules, I can put it in here. Or, you know, if I'm feeling really confident about how my code is written, I can put it into, you know, ignore, basically. Yeah.
So maybe as the phases of your projects move on, you've done one part of the code base and you just want to hive it off.
Exactly.
Does it help in performance any? It's kind of irrelevant?
It's kind of irrelevant, yeah.
Awesome. Is there any, so you said this Andrew guy's got a blog post about that file. Is there any other resources out there about this?
That's really the first one that's coming out there. We don't have much in terms of additional things. Actually, this, you know, a blog post can go so far, but part of my motivation for asking to talk to you guys is because to really see it in action is really great.
Definitely more impactful.
Right.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go ahead and hit my button again, and I'll hit step in. And you can see that I've actually stepped over because there's no jQuery to step into. Well, it's just jQuery that we stepped into, and I don't want to hit that. But it turns out that I still have this bug in my code, and now that you know I'm not stepping into jQuery and seeing all of this junk, I've realized that, you know, my expression here is incorrect. I wanted a hash in front of the jq, and I wasn't getting it. So I'll go ahead and add that in. And add that in, and hit play again. Go back down to my demo, and play, and there it goes. So
nice.
Yeah. So one other little piece I wanted to demo here because it just looks so great. You know, it's very common. jQuery doesn't just operate over DOM elements, even though that's a really handy thing. But it also operates over you know, arrays or any kind of array-like object. This gets handy in JavaScript because a lot of people will use it, for instance, in place of arrays for each function, for instance, because it's supported across browsers as opposed to ES5 browsers. So you know, I might want to write some function that totals some items. You know, so for instance, if I have $1.39, then a $2.05, and something like that, and 5.10, you know, so I've got some array, each function index item, so var sum equals 0, console log sum, and then sum plus equals item. So what I can do here is, and this will work in pretty much any case, and it doesn't work in the other one just because it's asynchronous. But if I hit this, you'll see I've got my breakpoint here just at the beginning. And just for demo's sake, let me turn off just my code again. Maybe I have too many options here. There we go. So turn off just my code, and I'll hit step in. And again, we'll get that same kind of goo that we really didn't like, right? And so let me step back out. So debug options. Oops, I did the wrong debug options. Turn it back on. And so I'll hit step in. And now we just get a nice clean right into my line of code, and it's beautiful.
Yeah, that is quite staggering how different it is.
Yep, and I can hit step out, and it'll go back to my next line. Things are great. So let me do one more illustration here. So I'll hit step in, and you can see here in the call stack window, I've got this external code. It's not really a stack frame. Oh, I need to update Office.
We all do.
It's not really a stack frame, but basically it's saying, hey, you've got something in your call stack that's running here. So I can right-click that and hit Show External Code, and if I really, really, really want to see jQuery, I can. But it's really, you know, not very helpful, so I just turn that off. And if you need to navigate through your code or something like that, it's useful, but otherwise it lights up.
Awesome.
So Visual Studio 2013 ships with this on by default. So, you know, if you're a JavaScript developer, you might start seeing random external code blocks in your code all of a sudden, and hopefully it'll help.
So is there any difference between RC and RTM?
Yeah, so for RC, we are shipping this for Windows Store apps only. And then for RTM, we'll also have it for ASP.NET applications. We have to kind of think about it as at a project level, unfortunately, because you know, we can't just blanket say, you know, www.whatever.com is good for every project, because every project's going to be different.
Cool, awesome.
Very nice. Well, thanks so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me.
And that's the show for this week. If you have questions, write us at defragtools@microsoft.com, and we'll see you next week.
Have a good week.
Yeah.